Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast, brought to you this week by Axios Sports. My name is Josh. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. It feels good. We've been about 2 weeks since we've last podcasted, you and I, so the band's back together. Feels good.
It does feel good. It's we had some special guests on. Thank you very much to Ian and Dave for the secret podcast that will never be released.
Yeah.
The Invisible Secret Podcast. I was thinking that it is nice to have a normal podcast, but of course, nothing is normal this season,
no,
is it?
No, it's not. I was thinking before we started recording, what do I think about FPL? And I think that there are seasons in which we get the FPL that we want. There are seasons that we get the FPL that we need. And this season, more than any, I think we get the FPL that we deserve. So here we are in the midst of game week 9 in the season of 2019-20, and we're getting the FPL we deserve.
That's a good point, because it could always be like this, you know? Like, it could be like this every year, you know? And if it was, there'd be like 8 people who still played. So you're right. It is not always like this. If you're a first time manager and you're like, man, this seems like kind of wild. Like the two most attacking teams in the kind of mid table region just played a 0-0 draw. like, how often does that happen? You're like, never. That never happens. I feel like Bournemouth and Norwich could play 873 times over the next, you know, century, and they would never play another 0-0 again. Like, it was that's how shocking it was.
Pookie's great-great-grandchild will score 5 against Nathan Ake's great-great-grandchild, and it'll be a great game. I hope to live that long to see
look forward to that one. Yeah, yeah. I think I'll be uploaded to the cloud by then, so I will be able to to watch that one on YouTube TV or something. So just a weird game week, and there's been a few of them in a row. Trophy FPL said, is there a level setting in FPL, and if so, how do I turn it down? I think that's how a lot of us are feeling right now. The difficulty level feels pretty high this season.
I was online playing FIFA 20 with some of our Patreon members yesterday, and yeah, a lot of people are kind of grousing about how the AI defense is a little more difficult on FIFA 20. And maybe they ratcheted up the difficulty on FPL at the same time. And it feels like it's a universal theme around football games writ large.
Yeah, I guess so. And I'm not sure, like you said, I guess we deserve this. I don't really know. You know, we're going to talk about our teams a little bit. The theme of this week's episode, which we'll do in just a second, the theme of this week's episode is, how does a bad season happen? And what can be done about it, if anything? Okay, so that's the theme we're going to get to in just a moment. Gabe Castellano said, I think we need 5 minutes of ranting by Josh. It is not healthy to keep all the anger inside. Josh. So, Brandon, I'm not going to do what y'all think I'm going to do, which is freak out. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to go full Jerry Maguire here. It was not a great week for me. Okay. So I'll start off with the recaps and then you can do yours.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So I have 9 starters so far. I mean, thankfully people who played on my bench. So Mo Salah does not feature today. That one hurt. We'll get to that more in a moment.
Okay.
Zinchenko doesn't play at all yesterday. That's fine. I kind of thought that might happen.
Sure. We all knew that was coming.
Yeah. So the big issue for me was that I decided I needed to have Abraham in my squad. It was kind of a safety coverage pick, but also a pick based on his form and their fixtures, and there are lots of reasons to bring a Tammy Abraham. You did the same thing.
Yeah, it seemed like probably the smartest, easiest pick that we're going to make this first half of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, I feel like a total dullard who's just following the herd after he blanks again. I'm like, I need Abraham. I want Abraham. How do I do it? I can do either two things. I can move Zinchenko to Rico, and that would fund a move to bring him in. Or I could move I can move Wickham into Josh King, and then I would have enough money to move Allaire to Abraham. Either way, I had to burn four. So, of course, I go with the latter move, thinking, well, Bournemouth hosting Norwich at home, they should slaughter them 4-0, 5-0. Josh King always starts. He seems like a great pick, and yeah. Bournemouth always concede. So I don't really feel like I need to have Rico on my team because I won't be playing him that often.
Nor anyway. Would you want to get rid of Pookie in that situation.
Right, exactly. Nor do I want to get rid of Pookie in that situation either. So I hold Pookie, who gets me 1 point. I bring in Josh King, who doesn't start and gets me 1 point. Zinchenko doesn't play at all, so there's 0 points there.
Go on.
And Diego Rico, who I didn't bring in, gets a clean sheet and all three bonus points. So that's
He did only get 2 bonus points for the record.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Okay, so that's just a 7
yeah,
points.
Yeah, one of the Smith / Cook family got all three bonus points in the Bournemouth D.
So that was not awesome. And then I decided I'm going to captain Kevin De Bruyne. Just have a lot of faith. I went big on the Kitchen Table podcast this week, but then even on Twitter, I stuck to my guns. I said, you know what? I think that Man City are going to dominate Crystal Palace on the road, mm-hmm. and that De Bruyne, I sort of kind of ranked things, actually. And I was like, you know, and I'll be honest here. I said, if I had Aguero, I would captain him,
yeah.
Which seemed like a very reasonable move. He hadn't played for 2 weeks, and there have been rumors that he was nursing like a heel injury, yeah. but I mean, by all accounts, he was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, or I don't know, not all accounts, I guess. But so I went with De Bruyne, and he proceeds to have a 3-pointer that could have been, I mean, what, like a 19-pointer or something?
The most
I mean,
sensational 3-point game you'll hope to see. He came so close to a headed goal that went off the post shortly after he was just standing in front of the open goal, unmarked, waiting for Jesus to pass him the ball. And that was the not pass heard round the FPL world. I mean, TVs must have been thrown out of countless windows.
And then that ignores, of course, also the penalty that wasn't, where Will Zaha just clattered into Kevin De Bruyne. And but they've decided this year that they're never going to reverse a penalty decision based on a foul in the box. Like, they should have told us that going into the season, right? Like, it would have saved us all a lot of grief. They were like, you know what? We're never going to let it happen. I mean, if a pinky finger touches that ball, then sure.
Yeah.
That's a handball. That's a penalty. Anything that doesn't involve hands will never get repealed.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a foul anywhere else in the, I don't want to like go on about this, like whatever, but like, it's just like, why even, don't even review it. You know, like it's
VAR is a little bit like walking into a heist with an unloaded gun and you start waving this unloaded gun around like you're actually going to do some damage. But the VAR monitors aren't apparently plugged into anything. No one can actually see these replays in the booth, as far as I can tell.
Maybe it's like not a good idea for the people who are running VAR to be referees who are like not managing that day, right? Because it's like they just like shift these guys around. So it's like a whole like group of buddies, right? None of them want to like embarrass their friend.
Yeah, you know? Michael Oliver was like, in the booth for the City game, right. And then he was also in the booth, I think, for the early kickoff. On Saturday.
It's crazy too, because Michael Oliver, I think, is like the best ref in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I don't know, it's a strange one. But, you know, I'm sure he just didn't want to embarrass his friend, and that's what they're kind of, you know, they want to uphold the integrity of the refs on the field, but it makes it kind of farcical, I think. And so, you know, so just a rough game week, and then we get to Sunday, and I'm like, I really, you know, Salah's dropped by 600,000 managers going into this game week. I really need him to do something to just redeem my week a little bit. And then the rumors start to come in that he's not playing, that he's not in the 18, that he wasn't spotted at the hotel. Jurgen Klopp comes out and says there was no chance of him ever starting on Sunday.
Where did any of
you got the idea that he was? And it was like, amazing. I got the idea from your press conference. And then the embargoed quotes that were released on Sunday were about how Salah had never scored at Old Trafford, and that, uh-huh. you know, he thought it was just a fluke and that he was going to be able to redeem himself this time around. And so the idea that Klopp didn't sort of indicate that Salah was at least in contention to play on Sunday was a joke. So yeah, so not a great game week. You know, we're recording this on Sunday night. Lundstrom plays tomorrow. If Lundstrom could just get me, and I don't want to be greedy here, you know, but if I got 27 or 28 points from him, I feel like it would start to turn things around a little bit.
Yeah.
As it is, it looks like I'm on 28 points with Lundstrom to go. So that's where we are.
Great. I am also on 28 points, but it looks like my, it doesn't look like my captaincy will shift over to Tammy Abraham. I actually listened to your Thursday night podcast, Josh, and you convinced me to move the armband from Tammy over to Agüero. Of course, it was futile because Agüero doesn't get a minute. I was actually sweating bullets at the end of that City Crystal Palace match, because if Agüero comes in for a 1 point cameo, then that's 1 point doubled instead of Abraham's 2 points doubled. And then because Agüero doesn't play, I'm getting Cantwell's 3 points coming off of my bench. So I have 28 plus five with Lundstrom to go ahead of that Arsenal match. And I think right now I'm on a red arrow. If Aubameyang doesn't do anything sensational tomorrow, maybe I can break even or get a small, small green arrow. But we're really, I don't think anyone's making a huge amount of headway in game week 9. And that's basically the big headline.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, someone's doing well. It's not me and you. I really had a moment when it was confirmed that he wasn't coming, that he wasn't playing. It was like I saw red, you know, like, but then I sort of like came out the other side, you know. I was really frustrated. Actually, I even talked to my like wife, you know, which like I try not to bring fantasy into, but I was just like, I'm like, I don't even know what to do here. I'm like, I'm so frustrated. And I was like, I hate to feel this way. Like, how do I, and it's like, it's that classic, like kind of talking cure thing where it's like, once you start to like, just be like, why in the world am I so mad about this? That it starts to like go away a little bit, you know? And then by the time I got to the Black Horse, where, you know, I met up to watch matches today, I was kind of fine, you know, and I was kind of like, whatever, you know? So that's my recommendation. If you are mad about the game week, don't go yell on Twitter, go find someone to like,
to talk to.
I'm not saying go find like a therapist necessarily. Yeah. Just like go like talk to somebody and just be like, isn't this crazy? You know, like, isn't this, you know, and even if the person doesn't know anything about fantasy, just saying it out loud, you're like, oh, because it's like when you hear yourself, you're like, oh, right, this is fine.
It's true. And I think, you know? I think as fantasy content creators, such as we are, I think that's important in so many ways, that the talking cure, because a lot of people will come to us and say, what do I do? And I love the method of, let's talk about this. I'm not going to tell you, well, obviously you should turn Pookie into Jamie Vardy. Let's try and figure out, let's talk about it. And ultimately then the solution will come to pass, and maybe we'll come to it together. You'll come to it on your own. So maybe this episode of Always Cheating is going to be a little bit of a talking cure, because you put out the call earlier that we're podcasting. Everyone ran, everyone rage. Let's get a little of this off our chest and talk about how a bad season happens and how we might be able to rectify it.
Exactly. We're going to try to end it. We're going to try to stick the landing here and end on a high note. I will say just quickly at the start that we got over 100 questions for the podcast across Slack and Twitter and other spots, emails and DMs. So if your question did not make the podcast, it was a tough cut this week. It was hard to get all the questions in. So Brandon, before we get into rants and coming up through the other side and all that stuff. Quickly, just a note, if you would like to support the podcast, if you like the cheaters, if you want a community of people to rant to, become an Always Cheating Patreon supporter. We got more than 500 of them. And Brandon, I'm putting the thank yous at the top of the podcast this week. I don't want people who don't listen all the way through to think that we're lying, Brandon. We do get new patrons every
week.
We're
not liars now.
We're not liars. So just quickly this week, thank you to Mark, to a new Volkswagen patron, Mark Fotheringham, new Lord Sorloth patrons, Yannick Manwaring, Sjur Flage. That's Sjurflage. Apologies for the mispronounce. I'm just going to spell it out this time because I may have mispronounced their name. Pedro Lutch, Shiv, Moharia, and Magnus Meltzer. Great name, Magnus Meltzer. If you'd like to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You get access to an extra Patreon podcast each week. Just for Patreon supporters, you get access to the Patreon Slack, a really, truly wonderful community. We had a chance to meet another member of the Slack at the bar today, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, great to meet you, Andy. Thanks for coming by.
Yep. And if you like the podcast, if you want to say thank you, you want to kick in a few shekels, that would be awesome. So once again, patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Great. We'll take a quick break and be back with our main topic. How does a bad season happen?
All right, Brandon, we're back. main topic this game week. How does a bad season happen and what's to be done about it? We have some opening rants here, though. I mean, you gotta, if you're going to talk about coming up to the other side, you have to like get into the rants for a minute, mm-hmm. don't you? You gotta like dig in there. So why don't we alternate these? Okay. Let's read five rants, just like boom, like five out of the gate, just to let people know what we're dealing with.
And here, after five, should we just let into a big primal scream? Like if you're listening to this and driving right now, pull the car over and just start screaming as loud as you can.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay. So the first one here we've got is from Polly. You never walk alone. Is this the worst FPL season in history?
Great question. Then FPL General says, why do we do it to ourselves?
FPL Doc coming in here with, everyone seems to be throwing in their towels and giving up on the season. I thought it was mathematically impossible, but is everyone just getting red arrows at the moment?
Sam Danby says, from an FPL perspective, nobody knows what the heck is going on and who to have in their team, but isn't it a great season otherwise? Sam, so positive.
And Jeremiah Johnson adds, ADHD season so far. That's attention deficit hyperactive disorder, I think.
Yeah,
I think that's
right.
Not much consistent or predictable, frustrating or fun. I say embrace the chaos. So also Jeremiah trying to embrace what might be positive from this mad opening to the season.
Yeah, radical acceptance. It's a good idea if you can do it. So do we want to comment anything here? I mean, is it the worst FPL season in history? I mean, so far, I would say yes.
It sounds
hyperbolic. But
there have been a lot of bummers. The one thing that I want to call attention to is the comment from FPL Doc, who is kind of pointing out, how is it that everyone is losing? How is it that everyone is getting red arrows? And, you know, I don't want to sound like a parent talking down to everyone, but I'm sorry, you can't always win. You are not always the winner. You know, I don't want to be the guy who's like, we live in a society of like participation ribbons and everything like that. You either win or you lose. But that's just the way it is. We will have seasons where it's just not great and we don't win. And
that's true.
One of these seasons.
And it may be the worst season, but it is not the least interesting season in history. That's for sure. You know, our traffic's been great.
it's
an interesting time. You know, there's a lot to there's a lot to think about here. Try to figure out what the heck's going on. But so I mean, we've had really boring template years where you just, I mean, the Mo Salah's first season was probably kind of a boring season in a way, right? It was there's Salah and a couple other players, so I'm not going to remember right now. I feel like there was a couple of Chelsea defenders. Maybe.
Or you think and about like. You think about SAS or, you know, Robin Van Persie when he was still at Arsenal, where there were the players that you got in and you rode these guys to the top of your mini league if you were lucky enough to get them before everyone else immediately did. And that was the season, done and dusted. So it's very frustrating that we're having to just like work for our points week after week after week. It's become like less a going into a cushy corner office job. Now FPL is a going into the mines sort of a job.
It's a funny thing because I was talking to somebody earlier and I was like, again, my wife actually, just not somebody. And I was like, so FPL is my hobby and my hobby makes me miserable. Is it time to get a new hobby? And it was like, no, like in the end, no. The answer is, you know, the fact that I'm even engaged, you know, is like, it's fun. Like it's, even when it's bad, it's kind of fun in a way, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like a problem that has to get solved at that point. Yeah. Right. Like it's, you know, you sort of, you may have to recalibrate your expectations and maybe you have to like mourn that for a little while, you know, maybe, you know, at some point you're like, yeah, okay. Top 1000 season, probably not going to happen, you know? And I feel like once you get over that and once you can like accept that it's not going to be probably your best season ever in fantasy, assuming that that's the case, which is almost definitely the case for me this year. And then you sort of find new things to care about, you know, and you sort of, you know, I don't know, like it's, I feel like you just have to find new things to motivate. Maybe that's just like jump over people, you know, you're like, all right, I'm in eighth place in my mini league. Let me get to, you know, fifth place by, you know, December or whatever, you know?
I have a question for you. So I'm interested in the Venn diagram of being a football fan and being a fantasy fan, and where is the overlap and where isn't the overlap. Do you think that you are paying closer attention to the actual football and the actual Premier League this season because you're having a tougher time with your fantasy team? Do you understand what I'm asking? Like, is a fantasy season like this calling more attention just to the narrative outside of fantasy? Are you able to see that picture a little more clearly? Because is fantasy less distracting because it is kind of diabolical?
No, to be totally honest, I would say it's the opposite. I feel like it's harder to watch because I've been kind of frustrated, you know. The thought of going back and watching the Man City highlights, for example, would be, I can't even imagine. And because of that, it's like, I don't even want to watch like a match of the day kind of roundup because I know that those highlights will be in there. Last season, which is my best ever season, and, you know, in the top 1,000 for the last 10 weeks, I mean, I was watching a boatload, even if it was just like to relive a good game week, you know, go back
just
and rewatch.
Shooting it straight into your veins like an addict.
Well, that's it's like the dream, right? Yeah. That's like the, you know, it's like things are going well. And then it's like this reflected glory, like, oh, I'm a genius because Mo Salah scored, as if like I assisted him on the pass or something, you know, but there is a, like, you feel the reflected, it's like the whole, that's the whole why we do fantasy, right? It's a sort of, you know, sort of try to plug in to the game in a different way, in a way that's sort of fun and that you get to own, as opposed to just sort of maybe passively watching. So what about you? I mean, do you think you're watching more this year because you're trying to puzzle everything out?
You know, I think that I actually am. And Chelsea is really an interesting example because as I have recorded on this podcast, I've never been interested in Tammy Abraham at all. And because he bubbled up, and I guess a striker like Tammy will bubble up in other seasons, like Jimenez last season. But Callum Hudson-Odoi coming back from injury and him becoming a sensation in Chelsea and now in the FPL conversation, Mason Mount. So Chelsea was just this team that invited my fandom and my interest in just watching them play. And it's overlapping with fantasy, and I need players that are in that price bracket. And whether it's at Chelsea or whether it's at Bournemouth or Norwich, or Aston Villa. I mean, do we have to talk about Jack Grealish? Has it come to this? So it's
right.
I think I like right now. I'm at a point where I'm shopping around for assets, and every weekend it's kind of like a bazaar. I get to go out and watch the games and see who's interesting, who's appealing. I'm saying that like it's fun. I am as aggravated as everyone else is, but I do feel like I am a little more engaged with the narrative of the league more than I have been in recent seasons.
Well, fair enough. I you know, God bless you. Somebody needs to be. So, all right, let's move on to a couple of questions here. Maybe we'll start this pivot now towards trying to put a positive spin on things. Not even a positive spin, just get a little perspective, you know. Sure. So Vinyl Richie says, could you please elaborate your views on risk taking versus playing it safe? I feel like I took a big risk when I dropped Sol on my wild card a few game weeks ago. Brandon did as well. And says Sol has collected 5 points in those 3 game weeks. He says, how does the game reward me a 600K drop in overall rank? Should we just stick to what we know with minimal risk or take a few punts here and there? I pose the question to you, Brandon. has this season so far changed your risk versus – I played it safe almost sounds too negative. Risk versus sort of – keeping the faith with your players.
I think the trap here is trying to apply any logic to the season. We were sitting next to our friend Danny at the Black Horse, and we pulled up some teams of people in his work league. And all these managers had great teams. You look at these teams, and they're just like bulletproof, top to bottom. And they're still on red arrows and 20 points on game week 9. You're like, what is going on? And The way I feel at game week 9 is our patience is being tested to the point where I think this is going to be a 38 game week stretch of patience where you could see seasons where, like, take Hazard, for example, seasons past. Be patient with him over the course of 5 to 8 game weeks, and he will repay you, and then you drop him, and then you move on. You get your points, and you get out. I just feel like maybe this season we're looking at players who are only going to pay you back over the course of the entire season. A player like Salah and Raheem Sterling are probably pretty good examples of this, where everyone is thinking, is my money really well spent with these guys? Maybe it's only well spent if you are with them throughout the entire season. So, as Richie points out, I, on my game week 5 wildcard, dropped Salah. I just didn't feel like his form was great, and Liverpool's fixtures were a little troubling, and I dropped him. It worked out for me. I'm not patting myself on the back over here. I think I got pretty lucky, especially with the ankle injury that he picked up. But that is the... As I was saying, there's really no logic to be applied here. You know, sometimes you're patient and sometimes you're shrewd. That was a moment in which I was shrewd. With Raheem Sterling, I've been being patient. I mean, do I feel great that I got an assist this week? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, the assist is the only positive return to my entire team. So I guess I have to be pretty happy about that. But I think... I mean, he probably could have had 2 or 3 goals. I mean, his shooting was unbelievably poor in that game.
It was.
I'm not sure that anything that's happened so far this season, and I don't think this is a punty answer. I think it's a real answer. I think that everything that's happened this season is so fluky and random that I don't want it to change my perspective too much. I mean, I'm looking at the dream team for game week 9. Okay.
Yeah.
This is their 9 out of 10 matches played. The dream team, it's a 5-4-1, okay? Mm-hmm. The only striker to make the dream team is Danny Ings. You have Marcus Alonso, Daryl Janmaat, right, from the worst team in the Premier League so far this season, Watford. Matt Target, Steve Cook, and Sidibe. That's your five-man back line. Total, the highest owned player in there is probably Marcus Alonso at 3.1%. Through the middle, you've got Jack Grealish, Harvey Barnes, David Silva, and Bernard. And then you have Ings up front. And I guess from that lot, David Silva at 10% is the most owned player. So you have Jordan Pickford in goal, who is not particularly highly owned, 9.3% of managers. And then you have Danny Ings up front, who's owned by 2% of managers. So you look at that, and I mean, you know, you could go back to the previous game week too, and it's not that much different. Pickford again, by the way. Mm. Oh, wait, no, that's game week 9. Sorry, I had to go back to another game. All right, so you go back to the game week before, it's Ben Foster, Jethro Willems, David Luiz, who's been one of the worst players in the Premier League up until then. Lewis Dunk. Way to
get that dig in there. Yeah. I like it.
Through the midfield, you have Traore, who's never been able to shoot before and suddenly is scoring braces away to Man City. Uh-huh. James Milner, Connor Hourihan, and Matt Longstaff. And then you do have Sadio Mane in there too. Mm-hmm. And then up front, you have Wesley and Connolly. Right. Mm-hmm. Connolly, who is now up to 1.7% ownership. It was basically 0.0% ownership for the season. I mean, if you had any one of those players outside of Sadio Mane, you were like, you only did it because you were a fan of that team. You know, it wasn't like you did it because you were playing the game super well. I mean, I guess some people got Dunks points, but I think most people who got Dunks points got them off the bench. They were playing at home to Spurs. You would expect them to concede in that match. Mm-hmm. So, and I can do this for probably most of the game weeks so far in the season. The best team you could put together is a team that no one owns. And I think, and that's what makes it such a kind of fluky season so far. I don't think it lasts though. I don't think it goes on forever. No. And so I think because of that, I'm not going to change my approach at all. I'm just going to, I mean, yeah, I there are players who have been performing well, who I brought in people like Tammy Abraham. You know, I finally, you know, I mean, you know, there are players who have done well on the season so far. And if you brought them in early, that's to your credit. But I think in general, it's just been a little wacky.
Yeah. There are players like Jamie Vardy, who I've had for since game week 5, and in that time he's returned 3 goals in five game weeks, and it's a pretty good example of how to exercise patience this season, where you see lots of fluctuation in attacking assets. And here is one that is proven, and he will return. And what was my point going to be?
Just bragging, I think. Yeah. good brag, dude. You know, what's wild, though, is Jamie Vardy now has more points in the season than Raheem Sterling. Yeah. Which you never would have thought when Sterling, I think Sterling was outscoring him 20-2 after game week one. And now he's outscoring him. So,
but it's like you could try to pinpoint the Connollys and who's the other examples of the guys who are just going to be hot in that moment and try and nail them in the exact week. Or you can try and look to, in these times of stress, the proven assets that you know will just bear fruit over the course of the season.
That's, I mean, Matt Stewart says, I think it's clear that there's a lot of frustration on the FPL community, given that there seems to be no easy solutions. Is it now more important than ever to avoid being too reactive, to take advantage of others making bad decisions? I think that's exactly what you're saying, B. Stick to your approach. I mean, if you're the kind of person who's listening to this podcast, you're probably a pretty serious, you know, you have to take the game seriously, and then you have a sort of a smart approach, more cases than not. And it's one that's going to bear fruit, when things get a little less fluky.
Exactly. All right. I'll throw Adam P's point in here as well. He says, instead of lamenting the inconsistency of all of our players, should we actually be weirdly happy that there isn't a consistently performing template like in seasons past? So Adam, is embracing the weirdness. I was talking with Ian last week about making FPL weird again. So, I mean, it's something I was hinting at earlier, and you and I are really hyper-competitive people. You get me and Josh together, and it's a very hotly contested head-to-head game week, and we can barely speak to each other sometimes.
We can't really meet up after either one of us have wildcarded. It's too, combustible, you know, it's really,
But that's too much on the line. That's born out of some sort of expectation that somebody wins, and that winning is something that winning is just something that we want, and we desperately want it. And maybe everyone is just so laser focused on winning and doing well. Maybe it's just we need to focus a little bit more on
having fun.
Yeah, having fun. And,
exactly. Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is like, I think of, I'm going to table this for a moment, but there are some players who I think that are fun, who I feel like maybe I'm going to start targeting now. Like maybe it is time to start having a little more fun, add a little more fun to your team. I'm not saying you drop Salah for a 4.5 million midfield. I'm just saying that maybe there's a couple players who, maybe you shelve the Allaire for a while and you bring in somebody more fun, just throwing that out there. All right. So next question comes from Barry Kermit. Is that like a reference that you and I should get? That's like some like
no clue.
Like, Barry Kermit says, would you rather a guaranteed 10K finish this year, but you didn't know what happened, so it seems like your skill. I like that. Or they scrape VAR for eternity. So what do you think? Be 10K finish or VAR gone forever?
Wow, this is like a real, this is a sacrifice. As we were saying, we love winning. We love great rank finishes. But if all it took was for me to have one bad season of FPL, for me to save football for the rest of its existence, I think I'd have to do that. Because it's pretty apparent after this game week that VAR is going to level this sport to the ground.
It's incredible. I mean, you go through any website, I tend to be a Guardian reader when it comes to just getting, you know, game reviews and things like that. I mean, almost every match headline now has VAR in it. I mean, it is the single most dominant force in all of football. And I don't want that. I totally agree with you. Like, give me a sheet of paper. I'll sign it right now. you know, I'll even take like a 3 million finish if that's what it takes to scrape VAR for eternity. Like, that's,
we'd be heroes.
Yeah, it'd be worth it. Yeah, we would be heroes. all right. Final question to end the section on a high note. Joe from Fantasy Football Scout, very nice guy who you and I have done some things with, says on the Meet the Manager series, Josh said the FPL game can throw you a bone sometimes. It's a line I like. It says, what and who are the best bones for the coming weeks? So I was talking about this earlier, Brandon, but if you decided you wanted to have a little more fun, right? You wanted to maybe inject a little bit of kind of your player. Let's say, you know, somebody who I don't even really care about their ownership necessarily, but just somebody who maybe isn't trendy or super highly captained, you know, maybe not transferred in as much. Who stands out for you?
Well, I think a player like Callum Hudson-Odoi, who is new to the scene. I mean, he doesn't need more people talking about him, because I think particularly after his
still small group.
Yeah, though. His performance against Newcastle was outrageously good. He was involved in absolutely everything. And it's a team like Chelsea it's not a punt that's too far, right? Because a team like Chelsea, we've already talked to death over the season with Abraham and Mason Mount. So Hudson-Odoi comes in and he's offering a legitimate third way into that team, cheaper still. He's up to 6.0 now. So I really think that is the type of player that can inject some life force into your team. And the one player that actually did well for me in game week 9, and I just mentioned him, Jamie Vardy, a little bit of a comfort blanket, right? Like you see Jamie Vardy scoring goals and you feel the warmth of 2-3 seasons that have gone by. And when Raheem and Aguero aren't quite doing it for you, Jamie Vardy will be there. And I enjoy that. And
yeah.
So and he is just nailed on to start. Or if you look at other nailed on to start guys like Harry Kane, just like a tumbleweed blowing through the new White Hart Lane.
Yeah, I mean, one of the stories of both of our seasons, right, was you and I both made big moves for Kane early on. I think the one that stands out for me right now is Jimenez, is a player I kind of wanted to bring in this game week, and I couldn't quite find a way to do it. But now he has a goal and two assists in his last two matches. He's been basically immune from rotation so far for Wolves, despite the fact that they're still, you know, playing in the Europa League. And that obviously could change, but it seems like he's almost their Harry Kane in a way, right? He sort of does a little bit of everything. He scores, he assists, he's on pens, did not leave for Mexico over the international break, so he's probably a little bit fresher than he might have been otherwise. And, it's really tougher for the North and South American players, right? Having travel halfway across the world for a lot of these internationals.
I think what you may hear over the course of this week is that both with Vardy and Jimenez, that their stats don't really show a greatness. Like I think Jimenez had 2 shots on target against Southampton. I mean, it had a number of opportunities that were just erased from the stat sheet because of VAR. And same with Jamie Vardy. He gets so precious few opportunities to score, but he does make them count. So I think there are arguments out there to be had against players like Jimenez and Vardy, which that's crazy. You don't bring them into your team. But that's why I like the angle of this conversation of relax. Maybe step back from the stats a little bit, because the stats don't seem to be helping anyone just this moment.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, you got me thinking about this watching more match. Maybe I need to be watching games more. Last year, I watched so much, and I think that I've been a little bit in, like, I've just pulled myself away a little bit out of frustration. And that probably is starting like a little cycle where I'm not really thinking critically, you know, about who I might want. Yeah. And Hudson-Odoi is a perfect example. I mean, I think I think you're spot on with that one. So,
and just Daniel James really blew me away, his performance against Liverpool. I don't know if he was just
every player that you have. This is what a turnaround. Yeah, for
every
you.
Player that I've Tammy slagged
Abraham
off.
And Daniel James both singled out in this podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been, you know, one game on, one game off in terms of his performances, but I thought he looked exceptional today. And Jack Grealish too for Villa. There is this spot, this McGinn spot in my FPL team where I'm thinking, I'm getting a little anxious. I'm not choosing to exercise patience. I'm like, sideways move to Jack Grealish or somebody like Callum Hudson-Odoi.
It does seem like that. We talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but that KDB Aguero Sterling thing probably isn't going to last forever for you. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, it is safe to say. It's just so much money, and Liverpool there will be a Liverpool reckoning very soon, I'm sure. So, and just looking at what's going on with Aguero, he will be the first to go. It the way the pattern is shaping up, Aguero won't start any away matches so long as Jesus is trains well and is healthy. So Aguero would be the first to go, and I think that's fine because KDB has to be the, whether it's your only nailed on City asset or it's just like your only nailed on FPL asset, period.
Yeah.
You've got to have him.
He looks amazing. I really hope he doesn't play in the Champions League at midweek. He'd be the one that I would drop to, mostly because you could even make a move to Aubameyang, and I'm not sure how much you'd lose, really.
Yeah.
You know, so... All right, so let's take a little break, and we'll get back. We have a few actual player, like just real kind of strategy questions that we'll talk about in the lightning round. So, Brandon, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Josh, following a team you love in 2019 can be time-consuming. Try following everything happening in sports. It's almost impossible. That's why we subscribe to Axios Sports, a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. It is the best free daily newspaper in the land. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you'll get the best stories from the NBA and NFL, cricket, Premier League, even ping pong. Everything in between. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple to sign up. And once again, it's free. Visit sports.axios.com. That's AXIOS.com. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up on the day before it even begins. And best of all, there's no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free curated sports content delivered directly to you. Sign up at sports.axios.com.
Brandon, I also want to take a moment to talk about Indochino. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. It's the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more with everything made to measure.
I wonder what the more is. Do you have any ideas? Like Stetson hats?
That's a good question. Yeah, undershirts perhaps, maybe at boxers. Who knows? Lots of different options. I love having anything that's actually tailored. I recently got my my neck and arms, you know, measured. So now everything I buy can be actually fit me well, and it's really quite nice. Process is simple, Brandon. You choose your fabric, you pick customizations, and you submit your measurements. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom, or if there isn't one nearby, you can just go online and do it all at Indochino.com. Style your upgrade now with $30 off your purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE with no space at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code BLUEWIRE for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. It's an incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. Take it from us. Wearing clothes that actually fit will make a huge difference in your life. Brandon, we're back. Final section this game week is the lightning round. It's a slightly longer lightning round this time around. I'll warn you right now. But I want this to be a true lightning round, Brandon. None of this non-lightning round gobbledygook where we spend minutes upon minutes on these answers. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds or less for all of these.
Okay? You got
it. Think we can actually stick to it this time? All right, let's do it.
Feel good.
All right. First question comes from – let's just alternate the questions. How about that? First one comes from FPL Husker Do. He says, after two blank game weeks, is the truth aka Callum Wilson, a lie.
It's like the Madden curse, right? When the NFL player goes on the front cover of Madden, immediately they have a terrible season. So we gave Callum the truth, Wilson, his signature nickname, and now he is he's bad.
I know. T-shirts in production. What a disaster.
No, both Pookie and the truth were vying for space on our next Always Cheating t-shirt. Now they're just persona non grata around the FPL community. Yeah, I mean, it's two blank game weeks. It's bad. Now is the time where you start to think about what else could I do with this money, but it is still two blank game weeks. Who else has two blank game weeks? Basically, Mo Salah, Sergio Aguero, Kevin De Bruyne, and Raheem Sterling have been pulling up trees over the last two game weeks.
Yeah.
So the truth is in esteemed company. I would not begin freaking out about him just yet.
No, he's the truth, Brandon, because he reflects what's going on in the world at any given time. Okay. So sometimes the truth is a blank. Okay. The truth to me I could have called him the best. Okay. I could have called Callum. He's not Callum the best or Callum the greatest, Wilson.
No.
He's Callum the truth, Brandon.
Yes.
And whatever score he gets in a particular game week is the score that game week merits. So I think it's very simple.
Isn't there a mirror like this in Harry Potter, right? You look into the mirror and you see, it's where like he sees his parents or something like that.
Yeah. 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 You look at his score and you see what you could have done right or wrong that game week.
All right. Next question here is from Roger Kendrick. Aguero, stick or twist? Personally, I think having a 12 million striker that only starts half the games is a waste. Roger, I am also an Aguero owner, and you took the words out of my mouth. It does feel like a waste. And on top of that, the whole promise of Aguero is, maybe he'll get rotated here or there, but when he plays, he'll really come good and he'll really make it worthwhile. And it's not the case. So with Aguero, for me, I am looking, he is on the chopping block to get rid of. And it will very much come down to how many minutes and how he looks midweek in the Champions League. It looks like Aguero is probably primed to start the home matches for City. So him playing midweek and then getting a start at home next weekend, I feel kind of okay about. So I think Aguero might get one more week for me, and then he's out.
Yeah, it'd be very brave to drop him before a home match versus Aston Villa, even if you're doubting that he's going to start. I think, you know, if he's nursing this heel injury and he plays it midweek and plays 90 minutes, then he probably won't start this Saturday. You know, it's the more like weird fluky scheduling. The early match on Saturday is Man City Aston Villa. It's not, you know, there's no break given for them playing in the Champions League this week. So, I think it's a pretty compressed schedule for a lot of these Man City assets, which makes it really tricky to captain them. I think you still have to captain them, but you know, it's like if KDB gets a rest, he's the one I'll captain. If Sterling gets a rest, he's the one I'll captain. If they both start and both play a ton of minutes, then I think it's really going to be tricky.
Right. I agree. It would be great if I could swap in Mane or Salah for Aguero, but the game doesn't work that way. So,
Yeah, it does not. And FPL Poland says what to do with Salah and Aguero. I thought I'd throw a Salah one in here as well because I have Salah. He's sort of my Aguero. He says, am I being stupid or stubborn? I think you are just being a little unlucky. How about that?
Yeah.
People don't like talking about luck, Brandon, because it makes it all seem random and pointless. But I think bad luck is a thing. And I think there's a little bit of bad luck right now with Mo Salah. The injury is maybe you could have dropped him because of that. I think that would have – I guess it was fine. I mean, I guess in the end it was the right decision because he didn't play. But I still think he's going to come good. I still am not imminently planning to drop Mo Salah. I mean, obviously if the ankle injury is so bad that he's not going to start again this weekend, then yeah, he's probably got to go. Yeah.
Jeff Waugh of Schma with the next lightning round question. The curse of the most transferred in player is totally real, right? Mane got 2 points this week, Mahrez 1 point last week, and Tammy Abraham 2 points the week before that. So how superstitious are we, Josh? This mean, Monty, yeah. 2 points this week. One little nick on his hand, and it robs him of what would probably be 8 points, like 5 points for the goal, and him then raking in a fair number of bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what it means. I mean, I guess it's obviously it doesn't always work out this way. There's a lot of times when you bring in a player who did really well and they continue to do well. Obviously, players do have form, but maybe there's a little bit of. We're chasing points a little too much right now. Mahrez, I never thought was a good try. I just don't want to bring in a player who costs more than 8 million who I never know if they're going to start. I didn't even include Son in that category because I feel like Son is a player who every week when you have him in your team, you're like, is he going to start? You know, and you just never want a player who costs that much money where you're just going to worry about it every weekend. Byron Bruce says, Jimenez is starting to show legitimate stats and he would have had a brace on Saturday were it not for VAR. You don't know that, Byron Brew. Maybe he scores that goal and the whole match changes. You don't know that. It says, I don't think we need to debate too much whether or not he should be a transfer target, but how soon should we be jumping on board given the Europa League commitments? And is it worth downgrading Salah or Sterling for? That's kind of a, they're both midfielders and he's a forward, but just on the question of him, and as we talked about him already a little bit, I guess we kind of jumped the gun talking about him earlier in the pod, but he's a player who I think is a legitimate option. I think he, when we talk about the game throwing you a bone and having some fun and maybe trying to get on somebody a little bit early, I think he's a prime example. And Wolves have fantastic fixtures. I suppose their game week 10 fixture is not, well, actually, no, they play away to Newcastle. Excuse me, I was thinking of game week 11 when they play away to Arsenal. They play Newcastle, Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Sheffield, West Ham, and Brighton in six of their next seven. The one difficult match is away to Arsenal, and Arsenal's defense is nothing to be super worried about.
Basically, the only fixtures I'd be counting as difficult in this league right now would be Manchester City and Liverpool, and Wolves don't have that until City in game week 19. So you're looking at 9 straight game weeks of decent fixtures for Jimenez, and he seems to be immune to the Europa League rotation. And there has been this cloud over Wolves all season with the Europa League, and it seems like they're finally starting to get some form in the Premier League, and that's good. We want to see that, so I'm into it.
Yeah, and he's owned by less than 10% of managers. So if you want to be a little different, he's a great pick. He's a great Pukki replacement, I think, too.
All right, Matt Seward chimes in. With Otamendi, Walker, Zinchenko not in the squad on Saturday, are Cancelo and Mendy legitimate options to consider as differentials? So Matt Seward is looking for new nailed-on defensive options for Manchester City. But the real question Matt should be asking here is, do we really want to be buying into this Manchester City defense at any price? That, I mean, if Cancelo costs 4.5, sure, I'm here for you. But anything beyond that, the City defense just feels like a bit of, it's just wasted capital right now.
I don't really have anything else to add. I agree with that. I think that Mendy looked good. I have not been a huge Mendy fan on the season. I thought he played really well yesterday. He wasn't really sending in crosses or anything like that, but I just thought he had good speed. He was physical. He felt like an upgrade over Zinchenko, to be totally honest. And I could see why he was in the squad. I don't want either one of my team. I mean, Cancelo and Walker will probably alternate starts a lot this year when they're both healthy. And Mendy has two players behind him in Zinchenko and Angelino, who are both legit starters. So, I don't really want
to. Yeah, you could look at that clean sheet to Palace, and it took Ederson having to come out of his slumber to make two incredible saves late in that second half to rescue that clean sheet for City. So you're not going to be able to rely on Ederson doing that every single week. So to buy into those non-clean sheets at above 5 million, not recommending.
Yep. All right. Next question comes from Shiv, who says, who are the three most essential defenders to have over the next 5 weeks or so?
Yeah, this is a tricky one. Well, Lundstrom jumps out at me. Lundstrom has weirdly become... I think I had said he's received a battlefield commission now, just like immediately being graduated to a 4.5 plus million defender. And you got to love that.
Yeah.
So Lundstrom, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who nearly had an amazing assist to Mane on that disallowed goal against Manchester United. So he still looks incredible. Who would be my third? That's where things get tricky. I think I have been recommending this either or scenario with your goalkeeper versus your third defender. So if you have Nick Pope, then go for Lewis Dunk from Brighton. Or if you have Matt Ryan, go for Matt Loughton as your 4.5 defender. So you have either Brighton or Burnley coverage. Brighton have some mixed fixtures coming up. Well, Manchester United in game week 12 and then Liverpool in game week 14. As compared to Burnley, they have Chelsea in game week 10. And then it's a pretty good run of four fixtures with Sheffield United, West Ham, Watford, and Palace. So, yeah, I think it's either Brighton or Burnley plus Trent plus Lundstrom.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I just looking at like the, you know, the next five game weeks, you know, Man United is the top. I don't really trust them. Leicester, maybe Pereira on Leicester.
How are you feeling about Soyuncu? Have him and he, you know, he got his head on a set piece this weekend and he's still a relative bargain at 4.7.
Yeah, I like him. I think there's a good chance I actually start him in game week 10 away to Southampton. So I actually think their defense is pretty decent. They're one of the better defenses in the league this season. I mean, it's not saying much given the state of most of the defenses, but I'm okay with him. All right, let's move on to the next question. I think you're up to ask one.
Oh, I am up. I see. Okay. All right, yes, Timbo wants to know, Chelsea assets, how many to have from Tammy, Mount, and Hudson-Odoi? Why not all three? All three kind of seems like overkill, but in the same way, you can easily just swerve out of Mount and Hudson-Odoi in the midfield. I think Tammy is nailed on. Just get Tammy.
Sure.
You don't have to discuss that. Then you get to Mount and Hudson-Odoi, and the question would be, well, is Hudson-Odoi a differential over Mount? I don't think that's a compelling argument because it's a wash, right? At best, for Odoi owners.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Mount is still under 7 million. He's got four goals and an assist in the season. Probably he and Abraham were a little unlucky not to get points yesterday. I still think Odoi is a little unproven. And yeah, I don't know, two midfielders from a team I don't like hugely trust still. That feels like a little too much. So that's then like every game week you're going with three players from the same team. That just feels like to spread my risk around a little more than that.
It's true. They come up against a really annoying run of fixtures and then suddenly you're feeling backed into a corner. So there's a lot of competition for that Hudson-Odoi spot with McGinn, and now Grealish is vying for that attention. And is there any competition? I guess it's just Aston Villa that's competing for that spot.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm sure Trossard, when he comes back, maybe,
right.
For Brighton. All right, two questions left. One comes from Jason Hughes. He says, who are the best captain options for game week 10?
Well, Manchester City, I will have to captain Sergio Aguero yet again. I captained him in game week 9, and that didn't really take. I think I captained him. Did I captain him in game week 8 as well? Yep. He came through with 2 points there. But a home match to Aston Villa, this runs counter to everything, right? We don't like to captain in the early Saturday kickoff. That's never fun, particularly if it doesn't go very well. But it's a home match for one of the best home attacking teams in the league. So, you know, as tired and rote as it is to say, I think it still is Manchester City.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that I'll, you know, again, I mentioned earlier, but, you know, if any of the key Man City assets don't start at midweek, I think that I would be looking at that player to be my captain. I think you know, Liverpool at home to Spurs, if Salah is back and healthy, looks good at midweek, or just comes on in the second, like if he came on as like a sub in midweek, that'd be kind of perfect, actually. So I think he would be, if you want to be a little bit different, I think he's an option. I don't really, I mean, I guess, you know, the Chelsea assets, I don't love them as captains away to Burnley. I just don't see that being a game where they score a boatload of goals. Yeah, it feels like
maybe a 1-2 victory for Chelsea if they pull out that win.
Yeah, and then, you know, Newcastle's good enough at home that I don't see, you know, I was thinking like Jimenez, like some Wolves asset, you know, just to be a little different. I don't love that. I guess Aubameyang if I had him at home to Palace, but even Palace's defense is pretty good. So I think, yeah, you sort of, you keep eliminating players and suddenly it's like maybe Callum Wilson away to Watford. That seems like a, you know, I know people will be frustrated because he just blanked, but it's hard. Bournemouth have gone scoreless two matches in a row, which is very rare for them. And so I think they're probably due to do something, you know? So yeah, I'd feel good about them.
It is an interesting week to consider the road captain with Vardy away to Southampton and the Truth away to Watford. So yeah, two interesting differential captains there with Callum Wilson and Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, Vardy would be fun too. Final question. Luke says, how do you feel about Matip?
Yeah, it's a great question. One I feel like we could come back to time and time again. Mm-hmm. If you're just taking the temperature this week on Matip, I feel great. I feel good. I actually caught on the Liverpool Instagram, there was like a hype reel, a sizzle reel for Joel Matip. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Some great tackles.
I didn't see that, but yeah, I missed that sizzle reel, but it sounds like,
you could imagine.
It sounds
like a good one. You could imagine. I don't know, this guy, he doesn't, particularly when he's standing next to Virgil van Dijk, he doesn't look very cool. He doesn't have like a cool name. Just doesn't seem like a cool sensation. That's going to get
fun. Bad taste in music.
Exactly. All that said, I think that does overshadow the fact that he is a pretty good defender, and I think he's been pretty great for Liverpool.
Indeed. I think nothing I want to add there. So, Brandon, those are our questions. Game week 10, we've already taken a look at it. I think the one thing to note is just that there is a Friday match. Southampton play Leicester. I have to decide whether my desire to play Sunyunku in this match is just to have a player in that Friday match, because it is fun to have a player in that game, isn't it?
Who would you bench if you played Sunyunku? Who do you bench?
Yeah, I think it would be Lundstrom or Sunyunku, and it's just whether who I think would have a better chance of keeping a clean sheet, Leicester away to Southampton or Sheffield away to West Ham. I feel like West Ham are pretty decent at home, reasonably attacking. Southampton, I don't totally trust their attack, although they've actually been okay of late. I just think Leicester's defense is pretty solidly put together right now.
Yeah.
I think they'll have more of the ball too.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a coin flip.
I will be playing Lundstrom because I do not have other choices in my defense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bench Matt Loughton, who's hosting Chelsea. Pretty sure Chelsea will be able to score against Burnley. So, yeah, I'm looking at Van Dijk and Issa Diop. Now, Issa Diop, a zero-pointer this weekend, and West Ham just kind of fell to pieces at Goodison Park. But I think Diop looked really good. He was putting in Van Dijk as tackles. He was reading the game really well. It's not his fault that the West Ham midfield just kind of disintegrates right in front of him.
Yeah, my boy Fredericks is definitely starting in that match too. I love me a Ryan Fredericks performance, Brandon, as you know. All right, so it's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Sunday matches, those final two matches will be kind of fun. It could be Pookie's final match in my team. So that's a sad thing. I'm going to keep him for that Man United match, though. That seems like the kind of match where they sort of counterintuitively will get something out of him, right? Like they've had all these relatively easy matches and he's got nothing out of them. So of course, Man United team that's back in form will get beaten 3-1 at home or something by Norwich. So, or, you know, away at Carrow Road.
I think my biggest question for game week 10 is Arsenal, because I'm now at the point where I'm ready to maybe buy Aubameyang. It's going to take something special, I think, watching Arsenal play Sheffield United on Monday night
tomorrow
to really sell me on buying into this team, because it just I'm just not there yet, but I think and Palace, decent enough team. I don't know. Does it feel like the right time to go in on Arsenal game week 10?
Yeah, he doesn't need much to score. I think that's what makes him fun. If Mo Salah is really seriously injured and out again, I would probably burn four and bring in Aubameyang, to be totally honest. I think I would have had enough by then.
Okay.
All right, Brian. Well, that is the podcast. Once again, if you'd like to support the podcast on Patreon, we would very much appreciate it. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We have some producer thank yous to do, Brandon. You want to read those off?
Sure. Thank you to Peter Bodachtel, Barry Maguire, Paul Herzig, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Andy Penn, Jazz Binning, Chris Carter, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Alan Creasy, Blair Jacobson, Nick Wright, Stian Niehaus, Kaya Christine, Lalang, Ben Grant, Jeff Husby, Trevor Ingerson, Brian T., Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Travis West, Frederick Kean Gransky, Dave Wagner-Lodall, Brian Johnson, Adam Benjamin, Martin Savage, Chris Howell, Stephen Toomey, and Mike DiPietro. Everyone, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. And Josh, we're all over social media. Where can folks find us?
That's right. And it's Brian Jacobson, not Brian Johnson. Just one quick correction there. You can follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters. Facebook is at Always Cheating. That's at facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us hailcheaters@gmail.com and visit the website alwayscheating.com. So, we do get a fair number of emails directly to the email service, and it goes to both of our personal accounts. So if you message us, we will see it almost guaranteed. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast, and good luck in game week 10. Let's have a good one.
Take it back.
I don't want any of you listening to have a good one. I want me to have a good one and me alone.
Everyone knows what that means, Josh. Yes. We wish the listeners good luck, we're just wishing ourselves good luck, and that's okay. That's fine.
That's right. And they're doing the same thing. So it works out for everybody.
When we win, you win. Yeah.
So praise Poku. And hey, congratulations to Lord Sorloth, who scored did he have a brace? I think he had a couple of goals, at least one goal over the international break. So bring him back, Crystal Palace. You need it.
Hail Lord Sorloth.
Hail Lord Sorloth.